welcome to the Wealthy Coach podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Hey, my friend, what's going on? Welcome back to the Wealthy Coach Podcast. I am your host, Kendra Perry, and excited to be in your eardrums as always. I love sitting down with you, and this is going to be a fun episode. But before we dive into it, I have a little bit of housekeeping. Starting next week, I believe, yes, October 30th, just had to double check my notes, I'm going to be doing a 5-day, 5-part podcast series. Now, this is my first time doing this, and I'm really excited because I want to bring to you an incredibly valuable amount of content within a short amount of time. And this is going to be the Master Your Marketing series so that you can enroll more clients and make more money. We're going to be covering a different topic Monday through Friday. And if you want to listen to that, you don't have to do anything. All I recommend that you do is just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you don't miss those episodes when they come out starting on the 30th, which is next Monday. If you're listening to this podcast on the 23rd, on the day that it drops, it's going to be super fun, super valuable. And so stay tuned for that. So again, nothing to do, just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and enjoy the free content. All right. Today's episode, I want to dive into a little bit more of an advanced topic. Now, this has been requested because I know we have more advanced people following me on the podcast lately, people who are at maybe 80K, maybe 90K, even 100K, and they're looking to grow to multiple six figures plus, even the high end of multiple six figures, even seven figures. And they're wondering how to do this. And typically, this is a number, usually around the 80 to 100K mark. It's a number that people often get stuck at. And the big reason for this is because what gets you to 100K isn't really what gets you to high multiple six figures. And this was actually a lesson that I had to learn. And I had no idea because a lot of people don't talk about this. A lot of things that we learn about are more geared towards getting to six figures, which is great. But things really shift if you want to get to high multiple six figures and even seven figures. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about three different secrets that I've learned in order to make this kind of growth. And by actually implementing these in my own business, I was able to go from $250,000 a year to $750,000 a year, basically tripling my income, which is huge. Okay. Some of these might surprise you because it's not making more content. Okay. It's not necessarily running Facebook ads, though that can definitely help. But anyways, I'm going to stop building all this anticipation and let's just get into it. The first one is really big. And this is going to be really challenging for a lot of coaches. It was definitely challenging for me. And honestly, it's still challenging for me. I still have to always remind myself to do this. And that is number-based decision-making. Okay. A lot of times we make decisions off of feelings and emotions, and we're not actually making decisions off of numbers. And a lot of coaches will actually really put off tracking their numbers. They don't like numbers, or they have this story that they're bad at math. I hear this one all the time. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with math. And honestly, if that is a story you're telling yourself, I'm really going to challenge you to change that story. If you tell yourself you're bad at math and you're bad at numbers, then you are going to be, okay? And you can flip the script on that by changing the story you're telling yourself. Now, the good news is you don't have to do a lot of math. You can actually get something like ChatGPT or Google to do the equations for you, but you do want to get into the habit of tracking your numbers monthly and looking at them and making decisions based off of them, okay? Just an example from one of my Health Coach Accelerator students. She told me, I want to make this new freebie. I want to put together this whole webinar because the other one I have just isn't working. It's not growing my email list. And I was like, okay, well, hold up, because making a webinar is a huge undertaking. This is going to take you like a month to make, and it may not even work because there's so much that goes into it. I want to know, why isn't this actually growing your email list? Like, what are your numbers? What's your opt-in? And she didn't have an answer because she had no idea. And I was like, okay, well, we can't make decisions based off without any data, because you could make this whole new free offer when really the one you have is working. We just maybe need more traffic, or maybe we need to tweak the landing page copy, something like that. Upon providing me her numbers, I believe, I can't remember the exact number, so I'm just going to make something up, but it was low. It was maybe like 82. 82 people had landed on her opt-in page, and maybe 10 people had opted in. Now, that essentially is, I believe it's an 8.4% conversion, right? So 8.4% of people who are landing on that page are actually opting into her freebie. Now, that's really low, because we want to get at least 30%. Like 30% is our sort of minimum goal. And when you're promoting to warm traffic, so people who already follow you on social media, who know, like, and trust you, I mean, ideally, we want that to be higher, but we are aiming for at least 30%. Now, that's low. Based on that, you could say, okay, well, maybe we need to make some decisions about the copy on the opt-in page. We need to tweak some words. We need to tweak some headings. But truthfully, 84 is a really low number. And typically, I want at least a couple hundred views on an opt-in page before I make any decision. At this point, we don't actually know if the freebie's not converting. The problem is that she doesn't have enough traffic. Okay. Think of the decision we're going to make based on that. Her initially thinking, oh, well, this freebie isn't working. Well, we don't actually know that enough because we don't have enough traffic. We don't have enough to test it. The goal is to actually get more traffic to the page by promoting it more, by maybe putting some ads behind it, that sort of thing, so that we can actually test it and see if it's working, versus spending a month or two creating an entire webinar that may have the exact same outcome because the traffic isn't there. We want to make number-based decision. We really want to move away from emotions and guessing and feelings and try to be really logical. Now, there is a place for intuitiveness and emotion and feelings in your business, but when it comes to decision-making about where to put more of your efforts, where to put more of your time, where to put more of your budget, we really need to make it on based on number. You want to track your numbers monthly. You can create an Excel spreadsheet for this. It's actually something I give my HC students, but I'm going to give you an idea of what numbers to track, because maybe you're like, well, what numbers should I be tracking? The first one you want to be tracking, this is really important, this is profit margin. Okay, this is the percentage of profit that you take home after expenses. And profit margin, essentially what you do is you take your net profit. This is your profit after expenses. So take your gross revenue, everything that you make minus expenses. So that's the number that you want. You want to divide that by revenue, get that number, and then times it by 100, and that will be your profit margin. Okay. For example, if you have a revenue of $100,000, so that's all the money you make, and then you have expenses of, say, $80,000, that means your net profit is going to be $20,000. What you would do is you take that $20,000, you divide it by 1,000, times it by 100, and you get 20%. So you'd have a 20% profit margin. Okay. You could ask ChatGPT to do this calculation for it, or you can get it on Google if you're not following. Now, I recommend that you aim for, because we're an online business and we don't have inventory, I recommend that you aim for at least a 60% profit margin, if not higher. This is really important because this helps you stay on track with your expenses. Now, maybe you are making $100,000 a year and you have $20,000 a year in expenses, $80,000 profit. That means you have an 80% profit margin. That would be fantastic. This is really important because we want to make sure that we are not over investing into our business. Okay. You're going to want to track sales call conversion, meaning what percentage of people buy based on the number of people who book calls. We'll keep it really simple. Let's say 10 people book sales calls. You have 3 people buy. That's a 30% sales conversion. Now, 30% is industry standard. Now, a lot of my students will convert much higher because I provide them with a really, really magic sales script. It's amazing. But 30% is standard. That's really good to know, because maybe you're booking 10 calls, you're getting 3 sales, and you think something's wrong with you. You think you should be booking more, but really you are right on track. And the other thing you're going to want to track if you're doing sales call is no-shows, because it's actually really normal to have no-shows. And typically about 25% of people won't show up. This, you want to get to know these numbers and get to know your averages, because this will help you determine how many calls you actually need to book every month. Okay. For example, let's say you have booked 20 sales calls. You know that. And let's say that you have a 50% sales call close rate. I'm just using easy numbers. You're like, okay, I have a 50% sales call close rate and about 25% of people don't show up. So that means if I book 20 calls this month, I will get about 15 of them will actually show up and I will make 7.5 sales. And I am selling my program for, let's say, $2,000. That's going to be $15,000. And let's say your goal is to make $15,000. So then you know I have to book 20 sales calls every month to average the 7.5 sales and make my $15,000. Do you see how this works? Instead of just shooting in the dark and being like, oh, I got this many calls this month, we can strategically try to book 20 calls each month. And that means if you are 50% through the month, it's a 15th of the month, and you only have, let's say, 5 sales calls on the books, then you are going to hustle for more sales calls. And maybe that is running more ads, increasing your budget. Maybe that's sending out a few more emails to your email list or making more social media posts. Okay. Now, if you are selling in a different way, maybe you're selling through a live launch, right? Live webinars. Maybe you are doing a webinar every couple months, every month, whatever it is. There's a lot of different ones you're going to want to track, but a really important one when it comes to launching or even an evergreen funnel, like an automated webinar, is something called lead to sale conversion. This is the number of sales you make based on the number of people in the event. And the event could be the webinar, it could be the automated webinar, it could be a free challenge, it could be a workshop series, whatever it is. Now, really important because this is how you can plan for your launches. Now, a lead to sale conversion in a live event, it's typical to have about 3 to 5%. Now, that can be a lot higher. I've had lead to sales conversions as high as 10 to 15%. Again, if you're doing 3 to 5%, you're doing really well, but you can get higher, and we always want to be comparing our own numbers with our own numbers. For example, for my live webinar, I will typically close at about 5 to 10% for lead to sale conversion. That means if I have 100 people register for my live webinar, about 5 to 10 people will purchase. 5 to 10 people. I get typically a 5 to 10% lead to sale conversion. Let's just average it and put that at 7.5%. And maybe you've done your webinar once and you get 7.5%. Well, that's maybe not going to happen every time. But after you do that webinar, maybe 4 or 5 times, you can really start to come up with an average. So let's say my average is 7.5%. I know that I will typically close 7 to 5% of people who register for my webinar. Okay, great. That means I'm like, okay, well, I want to have a 6-figure launch. I want to make $100,000 in my launch. How many sales do I need to make? Essentially, I could figure this out because let's just pretend that my program is $2,000 and I want to make $100,000. I have to first figure out the number of sales I would need to make. And really, we would just divide 100,000 divided by 2,000, right? So that would be 50 sales. And then all I need to do is I need to take 50 and I need to divide it by 0.075, or the decimal version of 7.5%. And that number is 666. What that means is I need to get 666 people registered for my webinar. And if I close at that average 7.5%, then I would make $100,000. Hopefully what you can see is that launching is kind of a numbers game. Now, in order for it to be as simple as a numbers game, we have to figure out what our average is, which means that we typically would need to run a live webinar several times to figure out like what we're generally converting on, right? And that's how we can figure this out. Now, obviously, there's other variables that go into this. You could have tech issues, or you could maybe not be on your game, or it could be a funny time of year, and maybe you're going to get a lower conversion, and you don't always hit your goal, and that's fine. Sometimes I believe that we make goals not always to hit them. We just make those goals to kind of teach our mind what is possible. But that is a really important number to know. Now, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the episode, is opt-in page conversion, right? Because if you have a freebie and you want to know if it's working for you, you want to know the opt-in page conversion and the number of people who are landing on that page. Because let's say you're like, my email list isn't growing the way that I wanted to. Well, do you need another freebie? Maybe not. For example, let's say we look and we see, okay, 1,000 people have landed on my opt-in page, but only 100 people have actually opted in. So that would be a 10% conversion, right? We want to get that at least 30%. We're like, well, that's pretty low. That could mean a few different things. You might need to change the copy on your landing page, but it's pretty low. So it actually might mean that you need to actually change that freebie and try something else. Now, let's say your opt-in page conversion was 21%. It's not 30, but it's not too far off. That probably doesn't mean we need to change the entire freebie. It probably just means we need to make some tweaks to the landing page and probably just small changes, right? Because it's pretty close to 30. Maybe we would just need to change the headline or change the image and then change one thing, wait a little while, see what happens. These are some of the numbers that you're going to want to track: profit margin, sales conversion, and lead to sale conversion if you're launching or doing anything automated. Really important. And we want to make decisions based on this. And then this is extra important if you're doing anything evergreen. For example, with my evergreen webinar funnel, before I was able to optimize it and actually start getting sales from it, I really had to break down the entire funnel. I launched the thing, wasn't getting sales. First thing I did was I looked at the top of the funnel, which is the registration page. And what I noticed was that registration was low, is at 20%. I changed a bunch of the copy and then eventually changed an image and then was able to get that opt-in up to 35%. So I was like, great, fix that part of the funnel. Still not making a sale. Okay, cool. What's the next part of the funnel? Where do they go next? Well, they go to actually watch the webinar. The first thing I wanted to look at is what percentage of people who sign up for the webinar are actually watching the webinar. Like, how many people actually go through and watch it? And this is why you have evergreen webinar software, because it'll actually give you these analytics, which is very cool. What I learned was that 30% of people were watching. So that was good. So I didn't need to change that. What happens next? Well, I got to look at like how much of the webinar are they actually watching? Because if they're not getting to the pitch, then I'm not going to make the sale. And what I learned was that most people were dropping off at 40 minutes, but I didn't start pitching until 60. That's a problem. What that told me is that I needed to shorten my webinar. Hopefully you can see how strategic this is. Instead of me being, this isn't working, stupid evergreen funnel, fuck this thing, I'm going to start all over, I strategically had to work through everything, which honestly can be really hard because we have emotions and feelings. We're emotional beings and we want to change everything. But a lot of times it's just about making these micro changes and letting yourself follow the data. A number-based decision-making is number one, and it's really important. Number two is team. A lot of us can get to six figures with minimal team members, if any. I was doing pretty much six figures, and I don't think I had a virtual assistant. And once I started growing, I very quickly had to hire someone, okay? But a lot of times we'll just think, oh, I just need one virtual assistant and we'll stop there. And that's actually a problem. Actually, growing a team is really important. Now, I don't believe you need to have a big team. And I'm not someone who has a big team or wants employees or anything like that. I have a bunch of little contractors doing work for me. But you really have to learn how to not only outsource, but you have to learn how to delegate. Really important. Because you cannot do everything yourself. And if you want to get to multi-six figures, high multi-six figures without burning out, then you actually have to find the right team member. I joined a mastermind a few years ago, and I was really wanting to grow from kind of like the 300,000 mark. I'd kind of been stuck at that for a few years. And when I joined this mastermind program, I thought I was going to get strategy, or at least that's the reason why I joined. I was like, I just need better strategy. But what I learned is that I actually needed to learn leadership and how to actually delegate and run a team. And I remember I did this time audit for my coach, and he went through it and he's like, well, there's no major red flags, but I noticed that you're doing a lot of delegation, but you have an online business manager. What does your online business manager do? And I was confused. And what I realized is that I'd been micromanaging my online business manager and I wasn't using her to her full potential, because an online business manager is meant to manage your business and manage contractors. And when I have something like a launch, she is meant to actually plan all the thing and then delegate the task to me that I need to do. It's almost like you're working for your online business manager, except for you're still the boss. I learned I was micromanaging, which is horrifying to me because I hate micromanaging. And I remember being micromanaged and wanting to die and feeling like my soul was dying. And so I had to give over full trust to my OBM, my online business manager, and allow her to do her job. And I actually had to start delegating. And something that I've always struggled with is this feeling of not wanting to annoy people. I don't want to like tell people to do something because I'm like, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be bossy. But I mean, that's why you hire a team. I really had to learn how to properly delegate. And something I learned from my coach, which has been incredibly valuable, is that when I delegate something, I tell people why it's important and how it fits into the overall picture. Because what I was doing before is I was just telling people, do this task. But when people don't understand why they're doing something or how it fits into the overall mission, they don't care as much and they don't take as much ownership for the task or the project. Something we do is every time we delegate something, we write a little thing on why it's important and how it fits into the overall thing. So as an example, if I was writing a little instruction manual for customer service, I would say, this is important because we value customer service. We want our students and prospects to feel incredibly supported. We want them to feel like they are seen, heard, and understood. And this is really important because it actually keeps the company alive and it helps us make sales. So that means the customer service person now understands why their role is really critical. The other thing we add into the write-up is what done looks like. Because ultimately, we all have different perceptions on what done looks like. Maybe I think done looks like this, and then the other person is under the perception that done looks like this, and it's not aligned. And that's a big reason why we are unhappy with people who work for us, because they are not performing or doing the job the way that we think it should. And so we don't want there to be any question. We actually put a paragraph on what done looks like so that there are no questions. And the person can't say, well, I thought I was doing it right, because we tell them exactly what the outcome should look like. So as an example, with customer service, we'd say something like, what done looks like. It's done when the inbox has been cleaned up, emails have been filed into the correct folders, every response has been responded to within 24 hours, and every inquiry has been tied up within 24 hours if possible, essentially. Again, there are no questions. And a really important thing to do, and this will actually save you a lot of time in your business and with hiring, is to create a company manual. Now, we've built our company manual out into Asana, which is a project management tool, but there's also Trello or Monday or Notion. There's a lot of different ones you can use, okay? Or you could just use a simple Google Doc if you like to keep things simple. And essentially, all the step-by-step processes are actually documented, okay? We start with the name of the task, why it's important, what done looks like, and then we have the step-by-step instructions, either written out or with a Loom video, which is just a screen share recording software where you can create a link and someone will actually walk you through how to do something. We also have the amount of time on average that it takes. And this is really important because then when we bring in new team members, they can just refer to the company manual and they know exactly how to do it. They don't need to ask me every time. And also they know how much time that we expect it to take them. If a task takes about 15 minutes, they're not going to be billing us 45 minutes because we said, look, you can do this in about 15 minutes. Okay. Team is really important because it takes things off your plate. And a lot of big reason why entrepreneurs burn out is because they try to do everything themselves. And truthfully, if I didn't have any team members, I would probably be working 60 hours a week, maybe even more, because there's so much to do in my business at this point. And personally, I have no desire to work 60 hours a week. I'm a lifestyle entrepreneur, right? I work about 25 hours a week. And honestly, that works for me. I like that. The only reason I'm able to do that is with team. And the way that I spend my time, because now I'm not working on admin stuff. I'm not answering customer service emails. I'm not managing people. I have an online business manager who does that. So my time is spent on promotions and sales. Literally, that's an updating program. So I update programs, I promote, I work on promotions, I sell, I make content. That's all I do. The only things I'm working on are things that actually move my business forward. Okay. Now, the final one is one high ticket group program or course. Okay. Now, high ticket is subjective, but I would say that you're selling something that's at least $1,500 or more. And it can be a group program or a course, but it is a one-to-many business model. Now, I think you can get to six figures with one-on-one. And honestly, that's the easiest way to go for most people, is to get the six figures with one-on-one. You can probably even go beyond six figures with one-on-one. I know my old student, Angela Brown, was doing 250K with, I believe, mostly one-on-one. Can get to multiple six figures. But ultimately, you will create more time and freedom with a one-to-many program. And that can be a group program or a course, or it can be something like I teach inside Health Coach Accelerator, which is really this beautiful intersection between a group program and a course, which I think is really, really effective for the health and wellness industry. Okay. The reason why I say one is because multiple offers tends to be less profitable. Now, why is that? Because a lot of us, when we're not making the money we want to put out more offers. But the problem is our time gets split. Because think like every offer, like a separate business model. Each offer needs a different avatar, a different funnel, right? A different sales strategy. And honestly, it's a lot of work. And I say this from experience because I actually have two programs. Now, I wish I just had one program, but honestly, I couldn't imagine not having HCA and not having HTME Expert, right? They serve different purposes in me. But honestly, I think that if I focused on just one of them, that I would probably be at seven figures, to be honest. And the reason is because my time is split. I can never give each program my full attention. They both get a lot of attention, but neither one gets my 100% attention all the time. I go through phases where I focus all on one. But if I just had one, I'd probably be doing a lot better in my business. Call me a stupid business owner, but I have two. The goal is to try to get down to one high ticket group program because that allows you to work less. And this allows you to really focus on making one amazing program. Because truthfully, your program takes time to optimize and it takes time to make better, right? As you learn, as you gain more knowledge and experience and actually see what works and what doesn't work for your students. And sometimes when we're stuck, maybe at 100K or 80K, we want to add on another program, but it might just be about optimizing the program that we actually have. I really do recommend focusing on that one high ticket group program or course, and that's at least $1,500. Okay. Can you sell a cheap course for $497? Yes, but you're going to need a much higher volume of traffic. It's a much harder business model because you need to make more sales. You have a massive Instagram followers. You have like 100,000 followers or 100,000 followers on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. Sure, that business model might work for you, but as it is increasingly hard to grow a big following, I do recommend that high ticket. And you can absolutely sell a course for $1,500 or more, and you can absolutely sell a group program for $1,500 or more. If you want to make that very hard jump from 100K to high multi-six figures and beyond, these are the three things you need to embrace. That's number-based decision-making, building a team to support you, not a big team, but a team, and then your one high ticket group program or course. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Wealthy Coach Podcast. It's been super fun to hang out with you today. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so that you don't miss my 5-day podcast series on mastering your marketing starting on October 30th. And if you love this podcast and you want to support me just a little bit further, you can give this podcast a 5-star review. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/wealthy. That's ratethispodcast.com/wealthy. All right, my friend, I will see you next Monday. Same time, same place, where I help you become wealthy AF.